Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
Good. I mean, no, that's not good. Just kidding. Do we have it taken care of? All right. Whew, man, a lot going on, yeah? With the sound system, especially. Get those sound demons we need to cast out. So, I'm kind of an optimistic person. If you know me well enough and you've been around me, you know I'm pretty optimistic and I'm always like pretty positive. Like, yeah, we can do it, right? And it gets me into trouble. Any other optimists in the house? Everybody's like, well, what's the alternative? It's pessimist. I'm just kidding. I know if they say realist. Realist is just another word for pessimist. But I'm just kidding. That's an optimist talking. But it gets me into trouble, though, because whenever I start out on a project, I'm always like, oh, 30 minutes, right? Any other optimists? Like maybe an hour, 2 days later, I'm still working on it. And so it does get me into trouble, but I just always believe things are going to work out, but sometimes they don't, right? I hate to hear that. I hate to hear it's just not going to work out that way. You know, it's like, oh, what? And sometimes bad things happen, right? And there's where the realist, I guess, comes in, that sometimes bad things do happen, and that just happens to other people, not me, right? No, it happens even to me, and sometimes bad things happen to good people, right? Now, I've lived long enough to understand pain and disappointment. I understand when things don't always go the way that we plan on. I understand that it rains on the just and the unjust, right? I get that. I understand that. Some things happen, though, when it comes to our lives, when things happen that maybe we didn't plan for, or maybe bad things that do happen to us or in our lives, I think there's different sources that they come from. And by the way, if you're wanting to follow along in the notes, if you go on the app, if you download the Vive Church app, you can follow along with the notes this morning. But there's really several different sources of things that happen in our lives. Sometimes things happen to us as a result of past decisions and lifestyle choices, right? We sowed wild oats when we were young. Even though we prayed for crop failure, they sprouted up. Anybody have some wild oats that sprouted up on you? I can attest. And you're like, where'd that come from? Oh, yeah, that was when I was 15. School. We hope that it doesn't, you know, but it does. So sometimes, you know, things happen from past decisions. We would wish that they wouldn't, right? Sometimes things happen to us as a result of other people's wild oats. We've all lived long enough probably to experience the effect of other people's wild oats, other people's bad decisions, and because of that, you know, we feel the results of it. And some things happen to us because we are living in a broken and sin-cursed world. And so things happen. As much of an optimist as I am, as much as a person that's positive, and I want to believe that everything's going to work out all the time and in my favor, and when I want it to work out, it just doesn't always work out that way. Here's the crown jewel of Romans chapter 8. We've been in this series of Route 66 and going through the book of Romans. We've spent some time in chapter 8 of the book of Romans, and there's a crown jewel verse in the book of Romans that we're going to look at today. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Does anybody know what it says? I would guess that this is probably one of the most memorized verses of Scripture, that even people who don't read their Bible know this verse. You see it all the time. There are actually shows. There's a show on TV called, I think it's Manifest. that it's all based around this. Anybody watch that show, Manifest? You know, the flight was 828, and everything, they always keep saying everything works together, it's all connected, all that. It's like a whole show is versed, even though it's not a Christian show, it's not a biblical show at all, but people know this verse. And let me read it. I'm going to read it in two different translations, one in the NIV and then the King James. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And then there's the King James version. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I think one of the most helpful things that you and I can learn is how to handle trials when they come our way. Because as much, you know, I know there's a few optimists in the house and some realists, and then the rest of you may be pessimists, but to kind of balance things out and just let's be realists all for a moment, that bad things are going to happen, right? Whether it's because of the wild oats that we sowed and we hope that they wouldn't sprout, or it's somebody else's wild oats and stupid things that they chose to do and you get to be the benefactor of that, or it's just the fact that we live in a broken, sin-cursed world. And bad things happen. Pain and disease and death is the result of sin. Not necessarily on our choice and our decision, but it's because of the broken world we live in. And one of the most helpful things that you and I can learn, and this morning this is what I want to focus on, the most helpful things that we can learn is how to handle trials when they come our way. How do we handle trials when they come our way? Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is telling this parable, and he explained it. There are some who receive the word with joy, but their faith is only temporary. I see this so often, that people receive the word of God, they receive the message of hope and of life with joy, because it's like, yes, who doesn't want life to the fullest? Who doesn't want their sins forgiven, right? Who doesn't want guilt removed and shame removed from your life? Yes, they receive it with joy, but their faith is temporary. And in the parable in Matthew chapter 13, as Jesus is describing the different people, different seed that was sown out, he talks about one who experiences affliction and persecution and pain. And all of a sudden, they fall away. I see it so often. I see it happening in people's lives that as soon as pain and suffering, as soon as trials come into people's lives, it's like they take a detour and they're not ready for it. If you join this thing thinking that everything is going to go your way, listen, from one optimist to another, it's not going to go your way all the time. Bad things are going to happen. I know that just sounds, I hate to say those things. I hate to echo those words out of my mouth, but it's reality, right? For all you realists, come on, raise your hand. Woohoo! Say hallelujah. He's preaching to me. Bad things are going to happen. And so if we don't know how to handle trials when they come, we walk away. And Jesus is explaining to his disciples and to the people who were there listening to him, and he's saying, there's different kinds of people, and there are those who just aren't ready for the trials. And so this morning, can we get ready? Can we kind of prepare for things that are happening or have happened in our lives? Can I share some things with you? And I hope that they'll stick with you so that when you go through situations, when you go through circumstances, that it's not going to hit you and knock you off the road, but you're going to be ready. You're going to understand how to deal with trials. See, these people that Jesus talked about, they didn't expect affliction. They didn't understand how to handle it. They signed up for success, not suffering. They wanted prosperity, not persecution. And so what happened is they fell away when the trials hit. My prayer is that not one person in this room, not one person watching online, will be in those numbers. Not one person listening to me right now will fall away because of trials or persecution. Because guess what? As we get closer to the return of Christ, persecution's coming. Can we just, you know, again, my optimistic nature is like, oh, I don't like persecution. If you like persecution, something's wrong with you. But I don't think many people do. But persecution's coming. How are you going to handle it? How are you going to face it? If you can't even handle the trials in your life right now, how are you going to handle the persecution that may come? I think it's especially in times of suffering that Satan, who Peter describes as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, Satan attacks us in those moments of trial and suffering. He seizes those moments. He doesn't let them waste. And I think it's essential for our spiritual survival that you and I know how to apply what the Bible teaches us about trials. And so we're going to look at it, right? See, all things don't just happen to work out for good on their own. I know that it's kind of popular even in our culture because that verse is used a lot, but you know, a lot of times it's misunderstood. All things just don't happen to work out for good on their own. It's not just good karma. It's not just something that just in the universe that, oh yeah, just all works out. Listen, God in his providence, in his sovereignty, he works all things together for good for his people according to his purpose. That's what the passage of Scripture says. It's going to help us to weather suffering better if we understand this verse before the storm comes, before it hits. Paul has he's given us some encouragement and hope with the truth that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. We already looked at that. Mike D'Arienzo, Chaplain Mike, gave us that message that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed to us. That's in Romans 8, 18 through 25. Then Paul goes on and he says, he's also encouraged us with the truth that the Holy Spirit is helping us in our weaknesses by praying through us, praying according to God's will. We talked about that last week, Romans 8, 26 and 27. Look at the contrast that's there between Romans 8, 26. For we don't know how to pray as we should. We don't know what to pray for. We don't know how to pray when situations happen. The Spirit of God prays through us. We don't know. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to pray. But in Romans 8, 28, just two verses later, we know. We know that God causes all things to work together. Listen, there's going to be times when you and I don't know how to pray. And it seems like hell has been unleashed on us. And we don't know why things are falling apart. All of our plans have fallen apart. All of our life seems to be crumbling before our very eyes. And we don't know how to pray in those moments. But we know. We know that all things work together for good. That he causes all things to work together for good in our lives. See, God's using everything that happens to me for his purpose for me. God's using everything that happens to me for his purpose for me. If we're going to prepare for things that happen in our lives, if we're going to be ready for the storm before it comes, then we got to understand that God is using everything in our lives that happens to us for his purpose in us. Right? That he has a plan. See, God has an eternal purpose, and he's able to accomplish his purpose. And this is foundational, this is fundamental to the truth in Romans chapter 8, 28, that God has an eternal purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. If God doesn't have a purpose, then he couldn't work out the things according to that purpose. But he has a purpose for your life. But if he has a purpose, but he's not able to pull it off, right? Then the trials that you go through might be sabotaging his purpose. See, God has an eternal purpose and a plan. And this is important as we understand, as we prepare, as we kind of, you know, get our hearts in the right place and understand before the trial comes is that God's eternal purpose cannot be thwarted. It cannot be sabotaged. The plan that God has for your life, the plan that God has for my life, if you'll understand this as you're entering into a storm, as you're looking at your life and you're seeing things are falling apart. What's going on? My kids are getting sick. What's happening in my relationship? What happened to my job? What happened in my life? What's going on around me? If you understand that, listen, the plan and the purpose that God has for your life cannot be thwarted. It cannot be sabotaged because it's God's purpose, right? Are you tracking with me? This is such an important verse. This is such an important truth. And it's so important for us to get some things nailed down so that when things happen in our lives, that we're not like that person that Jesus talked about. That when a little bit of trial, when a little bit of persecution comes along, they withered and they died. See, if a person is going to do anything significant, build a house, found a company, take a trip, they have a purpose and a plan, right? And they have a purpose and a plan to accomplish what they set out to do. It's really unthinkable that God would create us. He would create the universe with no purpose and no plan. And no plan or no purpose to, no way of achieving that purpose. It's unthinkable that God would create all this and all that he puts into it and the design and the detail, but yet there's no purpose and no plan. He has purpose, specific purpose, not general, generic purpose. He has specific purpose for your life. And see, if you understand that, if you walk into whatever it is that you're going through, whatever that happens in your life, if you have that solid anchor and that foundation in your life and understanding that God has a purpose for my life and there is nothing that can thwart his purpose. Job 42:2 says, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God has a plan and a purpose. He's working his plan and his purpose. And it can't be thwarted. That's powerful. That's the kind of stuff that anchors you in the middle of a storm. Because I know some of you, and I know some of you have gone through some storms, and I've seen you anchored in the middle of it, and I know that's what's kept you anchored. It kept you from caps, you know, whatever the boat does, capsize, yeah. It kept you from sinking. It kept you anchored, knowing that God has a plan. He has a plan. And he who began a good work in you is going to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Situations and circumstances cannot thwart it. And sinful people aren't able to thwart it either. Genesis 37 through 50. If you've never read the story of Joseph, you need to take some time and do it. Genesis chapter 37 through 50. It's a little bit long, you know, but not too long. Great story. But if you've been around church long enough, maybe you've heard about Joseph and his brothers. And the story of Joseph goes like this, that their father Jacob favored Joseph. And he was very open about it, that Joseph was the favorite son. And at that point, he had 11 sons. And because Joseph was the favorite, he let all his other sons know it. That was just, that's just stupid parenting. You know, I've heard that parents have a favorite child, and I wouldn't dare mention who mine is. But no, I'm just kidding. My daughter thinks she is because she got me a T-shirt that says, "I'm your favorite." But here's a dad who just was, you know, just stupid. We make stupid decisions as parents, don't we? Any parent has never done anything stupid? Because I want you to lead our parenting ministry here if you've never done anything like that. So here's, yeah, so Jacob shows favor to Joseph. The brothers sell him into slavery in Egypt, and they lie to their father that a wild beast has killed him. And in the providence of God, Joseph rose from the prison to the palace. And he was second in command to Pharaoh. It's a great story. It's amazing. And he was able to save his entire extended family during a 7-year famine. And he later explains to his brothers in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive." Listen, people's sinfulness and their lives, and it cannot thwart, even though we may be affected by it. Obviously, Joseph was affected by the sin of his family members. But it cannot thwart the purpose of God. Listen, bad parenting couldn't thwart God's purpose. Here's some hope for you who maybe are less than perfect parents, which I think we're all in that boat. Because sometimes we beat ourselves up really bad, don't we? That was real quiet. Maybe I'm the only one, right? We beat ourselves up. Well, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I should have never spanked them when they were young. Maybe I should have given them everything. Or maybe I shouldn't have given them anything. Or maybe I should have made them work for this. Or listen, bad parenting cannot thwart God's purpose. Now, it's not a permission to be a bad parent. Don't be a bad parent. Don't be a Joseph, right? They say don't be a Karen. Is it Karen? Yeah, don't be a Joseph. Don't be a Joseph. But bad parenting can't thwart God's purpose. So quit beating yourself up, parents. Let it go. Let it go. Joseph's brothers couldn't thwart God's purpose. The sin, the hatred, the anger, the anima, all that stuff that was inside of them, it couldn't thwart God's purpose. Your past can't thwart God's purpose. Your ex cannot thwart God's purpose. Come on, somebody just embrace that. Because they just seem to keep hanging around, don't they? I don't have an ex, but it may sound like I do, but I know a lot of people who do. They can't thwart what God wants to do in your life and what he's going to do in your life. He can't. Your boss can't thwart what God's going to do and his purpose in your life. You get what I'm saying? Is that people's sins, even though they may affect us, they're not going to thwart. That's such a weird word. Thwart. They're not going to sabotage God's purpose in our lives. I think there's some things we miss in this verse too that I think is really important. First of all, that God does have a purpose. He has a purpose for your life. It cannot, it will not be thwarted. God is going to bring about his purpose in your life if you allow him. We can thwart it. But God, in all things, God works together for good. He works together for the good. Now, here's the problem, is that when we put our life together and we organize our life and we control our life, which we all do, we try to, really, you know, some more than others. And when we you know, move the pieces around and we have our plans and, you know, I'm going to work at this job for this many years and then I'm going to start another job and then retire from two jobs and then I'm going to travel here and travel there. And those are good. It's good to have plans, right? It's good to have, you know, those ideas and, you know, I'm going to do this with my kids and raise them this way and they're going to go here and they're going to... And so we have all these plans. And when we put our plans together, they're good, aren't they? I mean, we look at them, we're like, yeah, that's a good plan. I like that. I get to retire at 50. I'm 51. That ain't my plan. Still working on that. No, I'm not going to retire. But like, you know, I'm going to do this. But we look at it and we say, this is a good plan. And then when it doesn't happen, we get bent out of shape. Because it's like, that's a good plan, and it just got screwed up, right? Like, if you've ever planned a vacation trip, and your kids, you know, you ever notice the kids never go with the plan? Right, Sarah? They get sick. Things happen. It rains. You're like, we're at the beach. It's not supposed to rain at the beach. We're at Disney World. The kids are supposed to love Mickey. Why are they crying? Quit crying. Give Minnie a hug. It's like the kids just don't, you know. But we get bent out of shape when our good plans don't work out. Listen, I know your plans are good. I know that you've got it all figured out. But God has a different plan, probably. Hopefully it's the same plan you got, but the chances are slim. That's being a pessimist, isn't it? Yeah, that's a realist. Thank you. Thank you. I'd rather be a realist than a pessimist. But God has a plan. His purpose is good. It's good. It doesn't always line up with our plan and our purpose, but His plan's good. And sometimes things in life cause us to take a detour and it detours us away from our good plans. It's like, wait a second, that was my career, and I made a lot of sacrifices. How am I gonna make it? What's gonna happen? Does God have a purpose for your life? Yes. He has a purpose for your life. Don't be like that person Jesus talked about, and when you face trials and persecution, when something happens and things go on that don't line up with your good plan, don't be that person that falls away, gets bent out of shape. Know that God has a purpose. He has a plan for your life. It's a wild ride. There's no doubt. But He's in control, isn't He? He's in control. See, I think we miss that in this passage of Scripture. We miss, when we hear good, we think, oh, He's talking about the good plan that I put together. And, you know, we all do that. We're like, I got it all figured out. God, would you bless my plans? Does anybody else do that? Does anybody do that? I do. I do that. And then, I hear myself saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm like, maybe it'll line up, hopefully. It's a pretty good plan, God. I mean, I don't know if you thought about it, but I did. I got it all figured out here. And then it doesn't work out the way we thought. And so don't get bent out of shape. Don't lose out. Don't fall away because of it. So when He's talking about good, He's talking about God's good. His good plan. His good is our perfecting. He's perfecting us. Sometimes we think God's plan and purpose is to just make us as comfortable as can be and as happy as we can be here on this earth. So that when we get to heaven, we have the biggest smile. His plan and his purpose, his good that he talks about is our perfecting. He's using everything that happens to me for his purpose for me. See, God, when he looks at us, he doesn't wonder what we would look like if we were mature. You know, we look at our kids and we're like, man, I wonder what they're going to grow up to be like. You know, they're 2 years old, they're 3 years old, they're 4 years old, whatever. I wonder what they're going to be like. He doesn't look at us and wonder that. He knows what we look like when we're mature. And he's working his purpose to mature us. And the things that happen in our lives, as painful as they are sometimes. And if you don't know me very well, you know what, we've gone through some painful things in the last several years. And as I look at my life, I'm just like, wow, I feel like I'm on this, mountain road. It's like total switchback. Wow, okay, But he's in control. It's his purpose. I still plan. I still hope. God, is this kind of similar? But if it doesn't turn out that way, I'm not getting bent out of shape. I'm not, cursing God and dying. I'm not bailing ship. I'm not leaving. I'm trusting God. That God, whatever it is you're doing, I know you're perfecting me. You're transforming me. Because you see something. When you look at me, you see the whole thing. You see the maturity. You see the finished product. You're just trying to chip away all those things that don't belong there. He's perfecting his image in us. Would you stand with me? He's perfecting his image in you. The things that you're going through, the things that happen in your life, they are his purpose. See, if you'll hold on to that, if you will make that an anchor in your heart, one of those truth anchors that, no matter what happens, I know God is in control. I'll guarantee you won't fall away. You won't fall away. Will you be disappointed sometimes when your plans don't come to pass? Absolutely. We all get disappointed when vacations don't go the way we plan, right, Sarah? Come on. Well, we know God's in control. Let's pray. Father, God, what an important truth. What an important truth for us, Lord. That we need to have this thing nailed down before the storm hits us. We can't be trying to figure it out and nailing it down in the middle of the storm. But God, today, would you help us to nail that thing down and to trust you that you're working your purpose in our lives and that you're perfecting your image in us. Father, I pray for that person this morning who's not in a relationship with you. They believe in you. They're obviously, or they wouldn't be here. But they're not in that relationship, and they haven't surrendered their life to you. I pray that you would give faith. I pray that just mustard seed-sized faith would just be planted in their hearts right now. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Randy, I'm not where I need to be with God. I want to be in a relationship with him, and I need to be in a right relationship. And I want to be in that right relationship today. I want to make that decision right now. I want to pray for you. Would you just slip up your hand? I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. I just you, me, and God. You say, I want to be in that right relationship. I want to be where I need to be. Anyone else? I want to be and know that I'm in the right place and the right relationship with God. Would you pray this prayer with me if you raise your hand? You say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I give my heart, my life to you. And I trust you. I trust you to forgive my sin. I trust you for my future. I trust that your purpose for me is good. Help me to follow you. Help me to be the person that you see. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, simple prayer, but God heard it. He heard it. And he answered it. He doesn't make you work for it. He doesn't make you pay off some kind of debt for it. He just gives that free gift of salvation. Father, thank you for today. Thank you, God, that your word is powerful, it's living, it's active, and we don't want to just be hearers of your word, but we want to be doers of your word. We want to put it into practice. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.